reversing a 30-year-old federal policy, the Bush administration is now encouraging single-sex public education. Only a handful of public single-sex schools exist, but under new rules being written by the Education Department, school districts would have much wider latitude to create them. The new policy raises old concerns about whether separate can be equal and whether single-sex schools prepare students for a co-ed world. We'll get three different views on these issues. The first is from Brian Jones, general counsel to the U.S. Department of Education and the former president of the Center for New Black Leadership. Mr. Jones, welcome to the program, sir.
Thanks for having me, Tavis. It's good to be with you.
Glad to have you. Let me start by asking, why does the administration want to encourage single-sex public education?
Well, I think it's not so much about encouraging single-sex education. I think we recognize that single-sex education is not for every child or maybe even for most children, but I think that there's a growing body of research out there that shows that it may work for some kids. And what we wanted to be able to do was, consistent with the president's No Child Left Behind Act, was to build more flexibility into our regulations and into the law, and also just to provide a greater range of options for parents. This really is about flexibility and choice for parents, I think.
The fact that some kids can succeed, is that enough of a threshold to change a 30-year-old policy?
Well, I think so, because the question for us is, there are really two issues here. One, our regulatory policy at the Department of Education has essentially said that you cannot have single-sex classes even in a co-ed environment. And then it's made it awfully difficult to start up public schools that are single-sex in focus. And so what we're simply saying is that, look, this is simply one more option that ought to be made available to parents. Obviously, we have to be very careful to make sure that when these things are done, that there's a good reason to do it so that you don't run into the problem of unfairly discriminating against one sex or the other. But again, if there's some justification that can be offered that really shows that this works for some kids, then I think it ought to be just one more option thrown into the public school mix.
Under existing law, when can federal funds be used for single-sex public schools and classrooms, and how does the Department of Education want to expand those options specifically?
Well, generally today, single-sex classes are not an option. Our regulations at the Department of Education are pretty clear that is simply not an option. With respect to public school, an entire public school that is single-sex, Title IX actually has an exemption. It doesn't speak to an admissions policy for a non-vocational elementary or secondary school. So if a school says, look, our admission policy is we don't admit boys, Title IX doesn't speak to that. But what we have to be concerned about is sort of the constitutional issue there. What the department has always said is if you're going to have a single-sex school, say for girls, you have to offer a comparable opportunity for boys, and we've defined that term comparable to mean that you also have to have a single-sex option for boys. But I think, for example, if there's research out there that shows that girls, say, do better, learn math and science, for example, better in a single-sex context, it may not necessarily make sense to have to offer that same opportunity for boys because, again, there isn't the same suggestion that boys necessarily learn math and science best in a single-sex environment. So what we want to try to do, but again, we've just sort of started the public process here, but I think what we ultimately want to try to do is listen to the public, get some comments in, and see if it makes sense to say, look, if we can offer a comparable opportunity in a co-ed setting for the other sex, then that should not necessarily be a bar to having a single-sex school for, say, girls if the research can show that it would work for girls in a particular setting.
Brian Jones is general counsel to the U.S. Department of Education and the former president of the Center for New Black Leadership. Mr. Jones, thank you for your time, sir.
Thanks so much for having me.
My delight. Pleased now to be joined by Kim Gandy, president of the National Organization for Women, and Londa McLaurin, the principal of Western High School in Baltimore, the oldest single-sex public high school in America, now 158 years old. Londa is also an alumna of Western High. Welcome to the program, ladies.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Kim Gandy, let me start with you. What do you think of the administration's new policy? I guess the question is, can separate be equal?
Well, we have a lot of concerns, about the administration's policy, which among them that we fought, I was just coughing.
Kim, let me go to Londa for a second while
you
get your throat cleared. I have that same problem some days. So let me start with Londa. Londa, first of all, what do you think of the administration's new policy? You run an all-girls school. I guess The question for you is the same question. Can separate be equal? You have an experience with it every day, obviously.
Yes, I do. And I want to extend my sincere appreciation to Mr. Jones for his words and in supporting the single-sex concept, because at Western High School, we are clearly evidencing that it is possible for separate to be equal. We have existed, as you said, for 159 years, and we've been very successful in terms of what our mission has been, and that is to prepare young ladies for college. When you talk about having another setting that would be equal to Western High School in terms of the academic program, we are fortunate in that Western High School is one of three college preparatory schools in the city, so our students do have options. They have a choice of coming to Western, which is a single-sex college preparatory school, or they can go to two other schools that are co-ed and offer basically the same kind of curriculum.
But, Londa, the world is co-ed. Girls and boys from single-sex schools need to be prepared, it seems to me, to work and interact with members of the opposite sex. How do you teach that in an all-girl setting?
Oh, it's relatively easy, I assure you. First of all, being in a single-sex setting, and I can speak primarily from the aspect of being at Western High School, we are very proud of the fact that our girls are very, very competitive, extremely competitive, not just academically, but athletically. And in grooming them and preparing them academically and athletically, they are already prepared to compete with anybody out beyond the school setting. And when it's time for them to go to college, they're able to feel very confident of being able to compete with their peers in a co-ed setting. So we think we're doing the job. We think we're effective in doing the job, not just at the school level, but preparing them for beyond the school level.
All right, Kim Gander, you're back with me now?
I'm back. Thanks, Tavis.
All right. So your take, can separate be equal when it comes to single-sex education?
I suppose it's theoretically possible for separate to be equal, but that has not been our history or our experience. You might look at the Virginia Military Academy, which, for example, tried to set up a separate program for women in order to comply with the court's rulings, and they set up Mary Baldwin Academy. And when it went back to the Supreme Court said, you know, this is nowhere close to equal. They didn't offer the advanced degrees. They didn't have the equipment. They didn't have the teachers. They found that the teachers had many more advanced degrees and much more high level at VMI. And this is where a state actually said they were making an effort to create an equal setting. And the Supreme Court pretty well blasted them and said, this isn't anything like equal. We had the same thing with, and there were really only two areas that I remember having sex-segregated public schools in the 70s when I first became involved in this issue. One was in my town of Metairie, Louisiana, where I was living at the time, Jefferson Parish, and the city of Philadelphia. Those were the two sex-segregated public school systems. And in both cases, the boys' schools had much, much more in the way of equipment and facilities. At Philadelphia, for example, the boys' school had a planetarium and a huge science lab, and the girls' school had neither.
What about the notion that Brian and indeed Londa raised that at least we ought to have options, given the way the public school system is working or not working, as it were, in the minds of many? At least to give these young girls, young boys options, you can't go wrong in that regard, at least.
Well, certainly the public school system needs a lot of help. I have two little girls, first grade and third grade, who are in the D.C. public schools right here on Capitol Hill. And there's no question that the schools all over the country need a lot of help, and there some experimentation is probably in order. But if you look at the examples that are held out for single-sex schooling as successful examples, Western High, no doubt, is an excellent school. And I read a Washington Times article on the subject where they interviewed some of the students, and they said, I really like this school because the classes are so small and the school is so small. You can really get to know all of the other students, and you can get to know the teachers personally. You know, you could take any school in any setting and put boys and girls there. Mm-hmm. And if it's got small classes and good teachers and a small school and good resources, as Western clearly does,
that's going to be a successful school.
Before my time runs out, let me ask Londa to respond to that. Londa, is it smaller class size, more attention to students,
yes,
or is it all
is.
Girls
it's
versus
a,
boys?
It's a situation, and primarily when you think about it, class sizes are going to be smaller because, first of all, you're dealing with a single-sex population, so you're not going to have as many students coming to a single-sex school as you would normally have in a co-ed situation. That's number one. We do have the benefit of smaller class sizes. We are also fortunate in that we have a lot of parental involvement as well as strong alumni association participation. And we do have the benefit of a great deal of resources and support from the community. But let me just say to you that while we are successful in terms of our mission, and as I indicated earlier, that we do prepare our students for college, that we do face some of the challenges that exist in terms of single-sex education. We find that we have to fight hard and be very vocal when it comes to funding, not just local funding, but we also have to make sure that we are very active in terms of going out and getting additional funding out beyond the school setting, because we have experienced the fact that we don't get as much monetary resources coming into our building or facility as you would find in a single-sex male facility or other co-ed situations that are comparable to ours. So that challenge does exist. However, we are very, very adamant about the fact that we are doing our job in terms of producing productive students and citizens for society, and that we are giving them the best that we can offer in terms of being prepared to compete in any level, on any level, with other students from other surrounding schools.
Can I ask about the other college prep schools in your area?
Hold on, Kim. I would love to, but I'm out of time.
Oh, I apologize
that I have to be the last word on that today. Kim Gandy, president of the National Organization for Women, and Londa McLaurin, the principal of Western High School in Baltimore. I thank you both for your time. We'll do it again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you much.